Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
7:45, quarter to late, Friday morning. Around these parts, we help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. And if you can, I just want to remind you, if you can safely access jeffersonfinancial.org. Now, safely, I mean not while you're driving or anything, because it's there's no obligation, no nothing. It's all absolutely free. You can go to jeffersonfinancial.org. You'll see calculators in the middle of the page. You click on that, you'll see some drop-down menus, almost 100 calculators you can use that'll help you manage your money. With that, we welcome in Mark Rosa. How you doing, Mark?
Good morning, sir, and happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you as well. What are we talking about today? What money are we managing?
Tommy, we had a couple of sessions ago, we had a little mention about real estate investment trusts, or REITs, as they're called. That's the acronym, REIT. And there's something that CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, had gone on Yahoo Finance recently and said, you know, it would be great if people would consider not the traditional stocks and bonds in their portfolio, but why don't they consider yet another asset class in infrastructure? And what if a lot of people pooled their money and said, well, let's buy a commercial building. Let's make sure the one that we want to buy is full of tenants. And the idea would be, as long as the tenants are paying the rent and can service the building with that money, there is an investment there. We can earn money off of that investment. And a couple of friends of mine who are local, and they have made their a good living off of commercial real estate. One is a commercial broker, and the other close friend of mine owns several pieces of commercial property, and he's expanded that over time. You buy one, and you get the rents off of the tenants, and then maybe you have extra money to buy another one. Well, the alternative to that is, instead of looking for a bunch of friends to get together and pool a few million dollars to buy a potential strip mall or a large piece of commercial property, and you're looking at it from the rental revenue, what if there was an investment that you could do the same thing, but afford yourself a lot more liquidity? I know in the one friend's case, when he's ready to sell a building, well, you got to get it appraised. You got to, let's say, spruce it up if it needs anything. Let's get it prepared for sale. Then you finally put it out on the market and see what happens. Well, when he was talking to me about that, and he's done very well, and it's like, I can't get over the lack of liquidity. I would prefer more liquidity in my investment choices. What does that mean? That selling a commercial property might not be the fastest process somebody has ever experienced. I mean, it might take a couple of months. In theory, it might take a couple of years, depending on what's going on in the economy, what's going on in the property values. And it's like, you know, that sounds good to get the rents and everything, but I could get them through a real estate investment trust. They are doing all the work for investors to say, we can pool money that are coming into the fund, and then we are buying one or many or hundreds of commercial properties. And then when those rents are being paid all across the country or wherever the geography is, then we pass along those earnings to the people that own the REITs. If you ever get tired of a stock or a bond, what do? You could press sell on your computer keyboard, and within 1 second, it's gone. Wall Street prides itself on the ability to get in and out of investments quickly. Not suggesting a trading environment, but if you're tired of looking at something, you could get out of it with not a lot of fanfare. And it offers just tremendous liquidity off of somebody saying, well, you know, we bought a bunch of hospitals, and then we want to sell one or two of those, and how long would it take to turn that property over? So because of the construct of REITs, they've gone into a lot of areas of the economy around the infrastructure, and it's lodging, and it's retail, and it's industrial properties, and a lot of these self-storage units that people like to store a bunch of, stuff,
right.
And they pay the monthly rent. That was good.
A lot.
Some other words to describe it.
A lot, too, Mark. They pay a lot to store
they
that
do.
Stuff.
Well, it is. And I had one temporarily when I was moving from the South Shore to the North Shore for the reasons that they're used for. You know, you put your stuff in and you get your property squared away. And then I didn't want to fall into the trap where I'm paying a perpetual rent to store stuff that's not worth the rent. And you get a lot of people that do that. And if you called around, it's not easy to find these a unit that you, everything's rented up. Well, imagine owning the entire U-Locket, you store it, or several of them, and you would get the rents off of that for people storing their stuff. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But then you'd have the liquidity issue. You got to deal with all the maintenance and so on. So that, again, is where REITs come in. Any of our listeners are saying, well, you know, I have a storage unit at ABC. Chances are there's a REIT behind that owns the property. They maintain it. More importantly to them, they collect the rents and share those rents with the unit holders or with the investors. So a lot of times, the dividends that they pay, well, let's start off. A bond pays a dividend typically twice a year. A stock will pay a dividend typically four times a year, quarterly. A REIT is collecting the rents on a monthly basis, so they pay the REIT holder, the investor, monthly. And a lot of people like that. You have these retirees that like certificates of deposits at banks because they can get their monthly income, and the REITs also. Well, REITs now are some of the REITs I was looking at this morning. They pay a 10% dividend, some as high as a 15% dividend, so the yields are very attractive. And it's not risk-free. You have to be concerned about or understand what you own, like any other investment. But if you're looking for that cash flow to come in, and many conservative investors, they want the dividend off of stocks. They're into bonds because of that, and they could be into REITs for the same reasons. But you get that more routine and more frequent cash flows, so it would be like investing in somebody's mortgage. They have REITs for that. They buy a bunch of mortgages. They buy a bunch of those investments around the country, and we can invest in them very easily. It's usually under a stock ticker. If you looked under Yahoo Finance and Google REITs, that would give you a lot of examples. And it's an easy in, easy out, but more importantly, it tends to be relatively conservative because of the properties they own. You pick the one that suits you, and it's like you have some stability there. Now, there's been instability with properties over time. There's been instability with any asset class, but you think about the commercial properties or the residentials or the U-Locket, U-Storage, one we mentioned a minute ago, and it's a boy, they just sit there. They just sit there and collect the rent, and then they share it with, again, the stockholder. The REIT doesn't pay income tax. If they pass along 90% of their earnings to the shareholders or the holders of the REIT. So it's that pass-through that, again, makes them very attractive. They're not paying tax on that. When you get the dividend, I mean, it could be in your IRA, could be in something where you don't have to pay tax on it right now, but the REIT holder would pay tax on the dividends that they get. But they can pass along more because they're not taxed on the earnings before it reaches the investor. So I had a couple of questions after we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and mm-hmm. I wanted to clear that up a little bit this morning, and hopefully I just did. But it's the types of properties they invest in, it's really grown because of those who want to get into that or find promise there, but they don't want to own the bill. I don't want to own an office building full of tenants. That's too much for me, but I can own it indirectly through a REIT investment.
Mark, one other thing that you touched on about the storage units, and I know a lot of people pay a lot of money for that.
They do.
For that. And when it comes to budgeting and so forth, that's something I think if you're going to conduct an audit of how much you spend a month, if you never look at this stuff and don't even know what's in the storage unit anymore and you're still paying for it, maybe that's something you should consider doing away with.
Between that and gym memberships, I find that it gets pushed to the side. And if you're not using it, yeah, you could turn that loose. I had a close friend of mine told me to my face, I've had a storage unit for years. what I've paid on the storage unit is more money than the value of the contents. And he just kind of laughed it off and said, okay, well, you're admitting it to me. Why don't you, you know, get rid of that stuff? It might be crap, and you don't have to pay the unit anymore. The storage unit would flip that unit over so fast because people are waiting in line to store their stuff in. But, yeah, I mean,
I know people that pay a lot of money, hundreds of dollars a month, to store stuff that they never, ever look at. Thank you. 7-Fire Real Information. Thank you, Mark Rosa. You can go to jeffersonfinancial.org, find those calculators. Mark will join us on Monday when he takes a look at the week ahead on Wall Street, Monday Morning Markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. 7:55, 5 till 8, traffic now, WWL.